because I just dreaded them. They weren't fun. I could have taken more education, but there were some things that I thought were fun and I took a lot more education. And then I have more of those patients because I like them. I actually love to do removable. I do a lot of removable partials, dentures, implant retained partials and dentures. They're so fun. Some people don't like to do them. They don't like those kind of patients. They don't like to do them. I took a lot of continuing education. I thought that was fun. So I developed that ability and I enjoyed those patients. So it is, you have to figure out what you like, what feels life-giving to you and who you are. And then you develop those skills further. So that's a part of the journey is figuring out, I never want to do a root canal again in my life. I hate them. People have tried to get me to do them. They're profitable. Yeah, I hate them. Not doing them.
Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences.
Okay, so today we want to talk about why authenticity matters. And as we were kind of thinking about this, it's like the reality is there's a box that most people, maybe they don't call it out, they don't realize, but too often, whether in dentistry or in business, we find ourselves feeling like we're trapped in this box, like that there's this pile of should be's, like you should do this or you should become that. And the reality is, I think the antidote to that is authenticity. And that's why it's so important to talk about today more than ever. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks, Sean. I do think that we're told constantly that this is the box that we're supposed to live in as dentists. I've gone to so many continuing educations where they tell me I have to have 100 new patients a month. I should have 10 ops in my practice with 3 hygienists. You know, this is the cookie cutter way that you should be successful in dentistry. And they also talk about how much money you would make if you do this. And so you feel like, okay, this is the model. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is who I'm supposed to be. And for me, it never felt right. I don't want to be in that kind of a model. And I think that there's a lot of people like me that don't want to live in that kind of model. And when we do, we're miserable.
Well, and I know today is like a different time than when you got into dentistry, where maybe there was more of a clearly defined path. And maybe this is how a dentist would show up and this is how a dentist would practice. But it's like the economy has changed, the rules of the economy and what you can do in dentistry. It's almost like the walls have been completely burned down. The market is completely wide open. And now every young dentist or established dentist, it's like you get to choose how you're going to show up. And I think that can kind of be a little intimidating because it's like there isn't that safety of if I just do this, I'll be successful.
So there was an illusion of safety when I started practicing. It wasn't real, but everybody told me you do good work, you go out there, open your practice, everything will be fine. Well, that wasn't true even in 2000. It's definitely not true in 2025. But I think you're right. This is before Google. This is before the internet existed, but it didn't have the wealth of knowledge that it has now. So the only role model I had really was Dr. Utzinger and my dentist from Flagstaff, Dr. Nelson. And so I thought that was who I was supposed to be. I put on the white coat. I turn into Dr. Utzinger. Clearly, I'm not Dr. Utzinger. And I couldn't really be him, even if I wanted to. So it leads to this imposter syndrome all the time, where I'm trying to be somebody I'm not. And I think a lot of young dentists especially are doing that. They're trying to be something they're not. And then they're just miserable with this imposter syndrome.
And I think even beyond imposter syndrome, the trending word that we've heard over the last decade is burnout, right? Dental burnout. And the tragedy is there are lives that get taken in dentistry because burnout's real. It's not something that is just an empty word. Like, you know, suicide is a stat in dentistry and it's tragic. And I think even in the last few months, I saw of 2 individuals that passed away. And we don't want to go into that, But the point of acknowledging that is that the stakes are really high if you don't end up finding this authentic path, which is why we're talking about this. So you represent a dentist that is actually, like, you've actually followed this path as a clinical dentist. I'm not a dentist, for anyone that knows. I'm in business. And for the longest time, I thought I had to show up either like Mark Zuckerberg or Gary Vaynerchuk. Or if it was in leadership, it's, John C. Maxwell. You know, he had all the books. And there's just this whole pile of shoulds.
And the shoulds are bad.
Yeah.
You should be this.
I love the saying, like, don't should on me. And the reality is I was shoulding on myself. And every single time I went to try to measure up if I was enough or if I was capable or if I kind of hinged my identity or my confidence on whether or not I was just like John Maxwell or Gary Vee, I always came up short. And that didn't energize me. That didn't give me a desire to keep playing the game. And what I discovered that the only game that I could win was the game that I could play on my own terms, that I was almost like destined to win. That's where I realized, man, there's so much more to this authenticity, because it's kind of become a buzzword over the last decade. Oh yeah, just be authentic. But it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, the question is, what does that mean as a doctor or a business person? What does it mean to be authentic? And I think that's part of the issue, is trying to distill down what that looks like in terms of being professional and being yourself. And ultimately, that's what authenticity means, is that you're yourself and you're not trying to pretend you're someone else. And you're not just following the cookie cutter recipe that everybody's given you, which makes you feel very alone. Really, that cookie cutter makes you feel more alone than anything else.
So when did this, like, hit home for you in your journey? You've been in dentistry now over, what, 24 years?
25 years, yeah. Time flies. There's so many places where I was just really feeling very alone and burned out. I started my practice in 2002 and it was from scratch. So I had two patients and I had to grow this practice. And I think there was no role model except I was supposed to be this dentist. And I didn't connect with my patients because I felt like I wasn't allowed to be myself. I had to be this professional with the white coat, and I had to keep myself just neutral, and I wasn't allowed to share anything about myself. And so for a long time, you know, I went to lots of continuing educations. I did all the things they tell me to do. And yes, the practice grew and I was making money, but I just felt more and more alone. And I think that's what leads to that suicidal ideation of, I'm so alone. No one gets me. No one understands me. But it was my own fault. But I didn't know it back then. And I think 2008 was like a big turning point for me, because that was when the crash happened. And I had a patient come in and I am terrified. I'm going to lose my practice. I'm not going to be able to pay for my cell phone. I mean, I am really scared. And she tells me about the depression and how she lived on a farm. So she got to eat during the depression. And like something clicked in there where I went, okay, first of all, this lady has a lot of wisdom that I need. And am I really listening to my patients? Because they're telling me things and I'm not really listening. But the reason that this woman told me anything is because I was vulnerable with her. And so that sort of did the spiral for me, where I needed to look at, how am I showing up for my patients? And when I show up as me, being authentic and vulnerable when appropriate, they're vulnerable with me. It changes the connection. It changed the dynamic of my practice.
And that was a deviation from whatever you perceived was the standard path of the professional boundary, maybe the emotional or vulnerability boundary between you and patients. That's just professionalism. And yet, maybe not life-giving, or maybe not completely true to, again, the gift that you were able to offer patients when you had a deeper connection. And the only reason why you found that out was actually trusting, almost like your own intuition, to take you, deeper. So do you feel like at that point you'd already given yourself permission to show up in more ways as yourself?
I think at that moment I did. The practice had slowed down because of the recession and I had more time. So before that, I was just working my behind off all the time, you know, 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week. I was really working hard trying to grow that practice. And I don't think I was listening to patients in the same way. That opportunity, and it was an opportunity to see less patients and to listen to them and to just be myself, changed me and it changed the practice. Now, the weird thing is that in 2009, I had one of the best years I'd ever had. Why? That was eye-opening for me. Why? We had just had this huge recession. People were just getting their jobs back. And some of it, of course, is there was an unmet need where people didn't get dental work. And so a lot of dental work had to be done. But some of it was because people knew me and trusted me in a way they didn't before.
Okay, that's crazy that you just said that. Like in business, there's this phrase where it's like, you want to get people to know, like, and trust you. Like, it's just become the common pairing of those words. Know, like, trust. And that's like the target. That's the objective of every company, every brand with their consumer, client, end user, patient. Know, like, trust. Because then there's a bond. And when there's that bond, now all of a sudden we can transact free. Because there really is actual connection. And for you to establish that, it just took a little bit more of alignment to just who you are. And one of the things that I try to keep as like a true north for me is that individuals really do have in-tune BS meters when someone is not being true to themselves or authentic. Like you can tell with this in relationship. It's been a long time since either of us have dated somebody. You know, you were just saying you've been married 32 years now.
32 years.
Like, that's amazing. I'm on at 17, or maybe it's 16 going on 17. Fact check. And in relationships, you can really tell if someone's trying to just be someone that they're not. It may not be obvious, but there's a sense of like, huh, it's harder to resonate or connect. It's almost like the idea of resonance and dissonance with music. With like a great fast food restaurant, like if you go into Chick-fil-A, there's just a sort of resonance when it comes to the flow, where to order, the experience, nothing's missing. When you go into a new place, if it's not, they don't have great systems and processes. I remember I showed up at a place that was a little Mexican spot near here and I was like, I don't actually know where to order. And then after I ordered, I was like, I don't know if they're going to give me my food or do I wait at the counter? There's not like a clear pick. Like it just wasn't clear. And oftentimes you don't know why things aren't the way they should be because great brands do such a good job of creating that resonance. So when it comes to like, you know, dentistry and small business, I think we take for granted the fact that sometimes to make the best connections, you need to be authentic. It's almost like the secret sauce or the secret weapon that I think everybody has. And yet we want to give, even through this episode, people permission to explore that further because maybe you're hearing this and you're like, gosh, I didn't know that one of the secrets that I have is actually me leaning further into my passions, my wiring, my authentic self. And that in doing that, I have a greater chance of actually getting to build that know, like, and trust with my patients. Like maybe that's unfamiliar to people.
I think it is, but you've hit on a couple important things that are the pitfalls. So first of all, people have given you the cookie cutter practice that you're supposed to have. And so you have no systems that would allow you to be yourself. So you have to have some systems that allow you to spend more time with your patients, which means that 100 patients a month is hard to do and still have a connection, an emotional connection with these people. Now, I don't have an emotional connection with every single one of my patients, but a lot of them, because I listened. And that was the big thing, is I listened to them. And then I appropriately shared things about myself too. And then I've set my office up so that there is some information about who I am. I'm married. I have kids. I'm into weightlifting. I've been involved in dentistry. There's pieces of me. It's not just sterile in my waiting room. I have a bookshelf of things that I've read. People ask me about it. I share what I learned from them. So it is more about the experience of my office because I created it. But you have to create the systems. You can't just, it doesn't just happen. And that's part of it too, is trying to figure out, well, who are you? Because when you first graduate, you're like, I just want to work on teeth. I just need a job. I need to pay my bills. I just want to work on teeth. I don't even know what philosophy means. But after a while, you've sort of figured out, oh, I really like to go this fast. I like this pace. Who I am is more this person than in the practice that I'm in currently, or the practice I've even created that doesn't fit me at all. So there's a lot of pitfalls to that authenticity that you have to figure out for yourself, and no one can do it for you.
And that's why I think there's so much that involves courage. Because sometimes when you peel back the onion and discover that what is authentic isn't aligned with what you intended, you know, early on with my dad in business, when he first started his manual toothbrush company, we were given the brand Dental Clinic because the manufacturer had some toothbrushes that had that brand on it. So we're like, okay, we'll just take it. Well, at some point he wanted to make it his own. And the name he chose was Dental Elite. Maybe because my dad wanted some elite idea that like we had elite toothbrushes. The problem was we were selling cheap discounted brushes compared to Oral-B or compared to Colgate at the time. And it's like, it didn't make sense. We were saying, oh, we're Dental Elite, but yet our font, our colors, and our actual product was more like, hey, we can save you money on good quality stuff, but there was nothing elite about what we were doing. So sometimes it's like we set out and we're thinking, man, we want to be the Nordstrom's of dentistry, but we're doing Walmart dentistry. like that's the truth of it. And it's like, if you want to do high volume, good enough, not really connecting with patients.
So I don't want to downplay that because there's a niche for everything. Right. Absolutely. And so there is a need for Walmart dentistry, and Walmart is perfectly acceptable. So don't say that it's not okay. It is okay, but it has to be fitting for you. If it doesn't fit you and you're just going through the motions, that's when you're miserable. If you come into my practice and you have an ADHD personality and you need to go, 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 you're going to be miserable. I am not the practice for you. So it is about making it an individual. So I wanted to be Nordstrom's. There are other people that want to be Saks Fifth Avenue. That's fine. I am not Saks. Doesn't fit me. But I'm not Walmart either. So you have to figure out who you are and set that up so it fits you. And I needed a connection, but that's not true for everybody. Some people really just want to get in there and just go. And that's perfectly fine. You just need to know that about yourself.
Like almost like be the scientist, like do their craft, work on great dentistry, but not interface with another person that could be emotionally messy or like, it's just scary, right? To actually think about connecting with someone because maybe there's not as much rules for that for some people that are maybe more, you know, scientific and things are kept.
And that's fine. I also have learned though, you have to hire people around you to take care of those weaknesses. Like you're not going to spend a ton of time fixing your weaknesses. You should spend a little, but not a lot. You hire people around you because you can't fix all of them. I am that scientific brain, but I'm not a driver. So my schedule will be very, very slow if my office manager wasn't like, no, 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 we need to put some more patients in here. It'll be fine. I would go slower. Sometimes if you're a fast-paced person, then you probably need someone in your office to connect with your patients. So you've got to have somebody that does that for you. And again, that's all about that authenticity of just accepting that this is who you are and this is how you're going to work. And it's fine.
And I think that's where like there's these competing tensions, you know, in business, there's the idea of best practices. And then there's like what the market, what fits the market right now. And it's funny, there's this kid's book. I think it's the character's called Punchinello. The author is Max Lucado. He typically writes adult books, but this is for kids. And it's all about this character Punchinello, who's got like a big nose. And it's all about, there's this one where it's like people want a red nose. So they get in line to paint their nose red. And, you know, the carpenter who made Punchinello was like, I made you perfectly. Like you don't need a red nose. But when he gets insecure, he gets in line and gets the red nose. And right after he gets the red nose, there's the coolest person that's walking around with the green nose. And now all of a sudden he doesn't belong and doesn't fit in. And, it, you know, it's a kid's story all about how Like if you're trying to fit in based off of what's trendy or what's in, you're always going to be behind. Where if you somehow have the courage to say, this is me, for better or worse, and if I could just be the best version of myself, then that's going to be the best strategy for success. And to think that that actually connects with business best practices when it comes to branding. You know, we've talked about this, like the number one aim for a good brand is distinctness and differentiation. You know, I'm sure that's
and to describe what you have, like you're saying with the toothbrushes, if you advertise that you're one thing, but you're actually another thing, everyone who comes in to see you will be disappointed. Everyone. But if you advertise this is who you are and that's who you actually are, then people who want to see you are coming and they're looking for you. And then all of a sudden your practice will take off. So you have to brand yourself with who you actually are and what you're actually doing.
Like there has to be alignment. And I realized that before I got married, because I realized my brother was really, really slick, super charming, prom king, everything. And I realized he actually knew how to also project an image that maybe wasn't perfectly who he was because he just knew how to do it. He also knew how to perform at a high level. So I was like, well, if I model some of what I've learned from my brother, I might attract someone thinking that I'm something different than I am. And if they buy that, then I have to perform every day of the rest of my life or
disappoint them. Every day for the rest of your life.
But if I can somehow kind of rest in who I am, and if someone can see past maybe some of the offenses and actually see who I really am and fall in love with that, then at the very bedrock of our foundation is just her, that person loving me for me. And the same goes with customers and patients and team. If you show up and you have the courage to be who you are, still work on like the like it's not an excuse to be bad, right?
When if you went to dental school and you got through it, you have a drive to be good. You just do.
So to think that like the best strategy actually from a branding perspective to achieve different, to achieve differentiation is the originality that's actually baked inside of you. And it's also one of those things, 70,000 hours. We've talked about this. Like what is that number in reference to?
Oh, 70,000 hours is how many hours I'm going to spend with patients over the course of my career. It's 36 hours a week, 50 weeks a year for a 40-year career. That's a big chunk of my life that I'm going to be spending with patients. I should enjoy some of it. Some of it, hopefully.
So imagine you have the choice to orient that the activities, the culture, the way you're doing dentistry is either as like, you know, 90% aligned with the way that you're wired, the way that energy naturally flows, the things you're passionate about, the things you're excited, the way that your brain works, you know, your cognitive dispositions, or it's only 10% wired to that, 90% you striving, performing, working at being something you feel like you have to be. 70,000 hours? Are you kidding me? One is going to inevitably lead to burnout and hopefully nothing worse. And the other one gives you a chance for not just impact, but like significance and fulfillment. And that's what we always talk about. Climbing a mountain, but then realizing you climbed the wrong mountain because it has nothing to do with what you care about versus like identifying this is me and I'm going to boldly bet on myself, have the courage to bet on myself. When did this become incredibly real to you in dentistry?
I mean, I want to say COVID is one of the bigger times. The same sort of situation happened where everything slowed down and we had a policy in the office when we went back to work in 2020 that we were going to listen generously. And patients always had, everyone had a story that they needed to tell us about what happened during COVID. And it was powerful. But more than that, when they told us that, suddenly I understood what they valued, what was important to them. I shared some of my stories. We connected. And then I realized that I had the opportunity to give them life-giving dentistry. Because I figured out what was important. And some people, they were suddenly on Zoom and they would tell me every time I look at this one tooth, I see it. It reflects in the camera on Zoom. Oh, we could fix that. They had no idea. I had never mentioned it. They had never mentioned it. That was important to them and I had missed it for years. Other ones had said, you know, I have to cook at home. And so now I'm realizing that I never eat anything crunchy. Why is that? Oh, because three of my teeth are cracked. Okay, so these are things that we needed to do. But that transition for them gave me information about them. And then I shared my story too about what I'd been through. So there was a connection. They trusted me. And yeah, I did a ton of dentistry because suddenly there was more need. But the need had probably been there the whole time. I just didn't hear it.
So in your journey of like discovering your authentic self and giving yourself permission to follow that, was there a time when all of a sudden you received pushback? Like maybe all of a sudden you're like, okay, wow, I think, because forget the naming. Like I'm sure you weren't like, oh, this is my authentic brilliance or this is my authentic self and I need to own it more. It's more of a gradual like, oh, this is what lights me up. Or maybe this has a little bit more of my personality or my fingerprints on it. Was there a time when you expressed a little bit of that and question whether it was the right move, because maybe you're like, oh my gosh, like what if I'm crazy for deviating from the proven path?
I learned earlier on the proven path wasn't proven. So that was a terrible reality check, that even though everyone said this was the path, it really actually wasn't for most people. That was scary. But then every time you make any evolution in the practice, you wonder, am I making a good decision? Is this good money to be spent? There's always this fear of, well, maybe I should go back and do tried and true. But again, I don't even know what tried and true is anymore. I know that I can't deviate back to 100 patients a month. I don't have the capacity for that. I can't do it. But then you wonder, and then people will say how much money they're making, and then you feel less than. And at the same time, I have to say that I make really good money. I don't need to make $1 million a year. I don't want to work 80 hours a week. I'm very happy with what I do, and I'm really happy with the connection and the work that I do. And ultimately, isn't that what life's all about? That you make good money, you can support your family, and you get to do something important.
Yeah, I share the same sentiment where it's like if that is the aim and that's really what it's all about. I don't know. It's just keeping the right perspective. A moment ago, I was thinking about how some people might be like, well, this sounds very like theoretical and like, oh, it sounds great. Like just bet on yourself, you know, show up authentically. But like, it's actually very pragmatic. And one of the examples is in my business journey with sales. For some reason, Allison, I did not like sales. And by sales, I guess part of it was the cold calling. The idea of knocking on doors, whether it was in real life, like physically, or whether it was on the phone, I didn't like having to prospect. I didn't like interrupting someone's day and trying to tell them why what I had to say was important. And yet so many individuals in my life were saying, hey, well, business, this is a non-negotiable. You have the skill set, Sean. You're an extrovert. You're great at connecting with people. And that's where this authenticity thing really matters, because what I had to do was I had to reframe something that I was really good at, but I also had to reframe like a weakness. A weakness of mine was with my empathy. I didn't like being misunderstood. So where do you get misunderstood a lot? Cold calls. Where do you get misunderstood a lot? When you're trying to tell someone what you're doing and they don't necessarily know where you're coming from. They don't know whether they can trust you. And that was just draining me and depleting me. So when I just did a little bit of a reframe and understood, I don't like networking, but I love meeting people, discovering who they are, honoring them. All of a sudden, the second I shifted from like, I'm going to networking versus like, I'm just discovering people and I'm helping them, or I'm interviewing them on a podcast, I could do that all day long. And it's like the same outcome is you're developing great relationships with important people that you need to develop relationships with. One of them, if it was strictly networking, I couldn't do it at all. I literally couldn't pick up the phone to do it because of the fear of rejection, all these weird wiring. But when I came alongside with the wiring that I had and repositioned it into honoring, cultivating, getting to know people, I had seemingly boundless energy. So that's kind of what I'm saying here is like, it could be something where it's just a little bit off and you feel like you dread it or you don't like it. Because you're still trying to do it the way that's not really truly lined up to who you are. But when you give yourself permission to go, it's okay that I don't like that, but how can I change it and look at it differently and possibly do a reframe? So it's actually a great thing that I don't like that, because now I can do it just kind of a different way. I don't know if that's shown up at all in your dentistry.
Oh yeah. I mean, you don't want to dread Monday morning. It's a lot of fun. You have to think about, what do you look forward to and what do I want to do more of that? And there's definitely things that I dread, and I just stopped doing those procedures because I just dreaded them. They weren't fun. I could have taken more education, but there were some things that I thought were fun, and I took a lot more education, and then I have more of those patients because I like them. I actually love to do removable. I do a lot of removable. Partials, dentures, implant retained partials and dentures. They're so fun. Some people don't like to do them. They don't like those kind of patients. They don't like to do them. I took a lot of continuing education. I thought that was fun. So I developed that ability, and I enjoyed those patients. So it is, you have to figure out what you like, what feels life-giving to you and who you are, and then you develop those skills further. So that's a part of the journey, is figuring out, I never want to do a root canal again in my life. I hate them. People have tried to get me to do them. They're profitable. Yeah, I hate them. Not doing them.
Just the fact that you're giving dentists permission to say, this is a profitable procedure, but I don't like it. And that's what's really interesting about StrengthsFinder alone, I feel like, is missing something. Because StrengthsFinder is saying, hey, let's cultivate your strengths. Let's build on your strengths. Strengths doesn't necessarily mean it's something you like, though. So you can be good at something, but it still drains you. So that's where it's like actually understanding like what lights you up that is also a strength of yours, because you might get lit up doing something that you suck at. And I wouldn't necessarily say that's a good strategy to follow that either. There needs to be competence and I would say passion. And when those two converge, I feel like that's a superpower. You know, from what I know about your practice, one of the things that I think strikes me as so unique is your annual planning meeting, how you actually decided to host that at your home. Was that something that was like a whole, you went to a conference, they're like, best practices is do this? Because that to me seems like that was a massive deviation from the proven or the safe way, where it's like, no, like work stays work. You don't let people in. It's like there was a vulnerability barrier there that you didn't mind letting your team into.
So it was against everybody's recommendations. Everybody's recommendations was, you have this team meeting at the office. You don't let your team into who you are at all. And so I just broke every barrier there. And it works for me. That doesn't mean that, again, it's me and this is my authentic self. And I want to work with people who know me and who care about me as a person and the dentist at the office. And I want to care about them too. So we talk about their personal goals, because ultimately we spend a lot of time together and I want to help them achieve their personal goals and they want to help me achieve mine too. So it was not a conscious decision that I was going to do something. I wasn't taught to do this. It's just something like I was just going to do it. Some things have worked for me. Sometimes I've done things that was against convention. It did not work out for me. I make mistakes. That's just part of life. It's been 25 years.
So Allison, what's interesting that I feel like is a paradox with you is that you have this very principled nature where you're a rule follower, but then you also have this very innate thing in you that's also like, I'm going to be me. And sometimes being you, like again, the idea of being you is authenticity, where following, you know, is not authentic, meaning like, how did you reconcile that? Like, did you at some point as you're maturing decide, hey, when in doubt, like I just trust my own intuition, I trust my own leading over so-called feeling like the pressure of doing the right thing or doing what everyone, like, do you know what I'm saying? Because you're also very much you're not just a rule breaker to break rules. You're very honoring of the system and of the establishment. So how do you reconcile those two?
Maybe it's because I'm a Gen X. There are some things that I feel like absolutely the rules, you have to etch, you have to prime, then you have to use your flowable. I mean, I'm very, very strict with all of those kind of rules. The rubber dam, very, very strict. But then there's some things I'm like, yeah, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Or, yeah, I see that you've done this all the time this way, but I'm not sure it's the right way to do it. Maybe part of it's being female. At the time, there weren't a lot of women dentists. And so I kind of got to be a pioneer, which I'm proud of. It doesn't mean that I was perfect. I made a lot of mistakes with that too, but I hope that I've pioneered so there's different ways of thinking about things. I don't know. I didn't get to be Dr. Utzinger. I never will. And so some of it, I just had to march to my own little drummer. So I did. I don't know how to answer that any other way. This is authentically me. I made some decisions that were bad. I've made some decisions that were good. I try and share both because I've also discovered that some of the decisions that I made that were bad are actually good choices today. I just did them at a time when it didn't work, which is interesting.
So for our listeners, this is a re-recorded episode entitled Why Authenticity Matters, which was the very first episode that Dr. House and I did back in 2019. And when we re-listened to it, we realized...
We didn't answer the question.
We didn't answer the question. And I think what's so honest about that is that we knew that it's something we believed in, but the essence of it was still very... it was hard for us to grasp. It was hard for us to actually put words to, even though we believed it and we felt it. And we gave ourselves permission to start the journey of why authenticity matters as we decided to even step into this podcast.
What's funny, Sean, is we were pioneers too. I mean, there were very few dental podcasts back at that time. So we were doing something new and innovative. Some of it we did badly, some of it we did well, and we've learned. But isn't that just the way life is? You just jump in and then you have to fix some things. And then some things really worked out well. I'm glad we did this podcast. It's been 6 years and we've come a long way.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.